At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It is Gil Alexander. It is Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin for one more day at least. How you doing, Wyatt? Good morning.
Morning, Gil. You know, Saturday was a tough day with the Michigan Wolverines, but you know what? Sunday, Green Bay Packers, right? We have a chance to make the playoffs.
You're a Michigan man. Michigan. Yeah, college football on Saturday was just drunk. And made the product yesterday, quite frankly, look really pedestrian. But today, it is the final guessing lines of the season. Now, again, it's not so much about the guesses this week as it is about just given the scenarios. I believe that's what Tribe Called Quest was talking about when they had the track, What's the Scenario? I believe it was about week 18 in the National Football League. So it's the squirreliest of all weeks. We'll do our best. Chrissy has a philosophy. By the way, the star of guessing lines, of course, the great Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, my Mishbook. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
What were you just saying off air about how you treat week 18 lines as a bookmaker?
You got to book it like the bowl games. You know, who's playing, who's in, who's out, who has any motivation, you know. So there's going to be some crazy numbers and probably some crazy moves this week, too.
And much of those answers, many of those answers, we won't know until after the game tonight, a monster game, not only on the field between the Bills and the Bengals, where the Bills are a one-point favorite currently, but the result of that game determining so much else. And then the way that the NFL decided to manipulate the schedule, which we'll get into momentarily for Saturday, because they had two games they needed to flex into Saturday, that creates some issues now as well. So it's a whole puzzle, and we'll go through every permutation of it here.
I'm not sure why Kansas City got moved to Saturday. That seems like a weird one.
Well, and that really affects New England and Buffalo. Now, I don't know if there's a book out there that you can find somehow the Buffalo line from next week up as well. But if you want a correlated parlay from heaven, it would be the Bengals tonight and then the Patriots next week. I don't think you can find it. But there's a lot of that. There's other ways you can sort of manipulate that. If you can't find that, which I doubt you can, perhaps the Patriots to make the postseason has some interest, because again, if the Bengals win tonight, the Chiefs, as you were pointing out, Chrissy, could then clinch the number one seed by Saturday, which would therefore render Sunday's game for the Bills, you know, meaningless in terms of they couldn't get the number one seed, and right. So the Patriots would theoretically be playing a team that isn't motivated and would sit out players. So there's a whole bunch of that today.
Yeah, we'll talk about a lot of the possibilities, but there's a lot of permutations, and I'm sure we're going to miss one or two of them along the way. Oh, you might not.
I know you do
your homework on these things.
Yeah. So your weekend then, Saturday, ended up okay for you with the college football in the end?
Saturday wound up great.
But let me started terribly.
We were rocking early. I talked to Michael, you know, after the early games. You know, we're in some trouble today. You know, we were down pretty good.
Talk about Iowa and Alabama.
Yeah, the Iowa game.
Yeah.
I mean, we needed the game over. Oh, 21 points. Oh, this thing's going to go flying over. No.
Not so much.
But, you know, Bama, boy, we couldn't get them off. You know, I was like the first to all these other numbers, you know, just first to seven, first to seven and a half, first to eight and a half. Could never get a bet on Kansas State. So we got crushed on that game. But the last two games, you know, we wound up needing the right sides. We needed TCU outright. got it. And we needed Ohio State. And actually, the way it fell, Georgia by one was like one of those perfect scores for us. So, we wound up with a great day Saturday. Yesterday, we weren't so good going into the late game, but I got a big bet. Jim, I don't know if you saw Jimmy posted that bet, $100,000 bet late on the Ravens. I don't know how much time we want to put into this, but a guy came in. A guy we have a record, you know, he plays. He bet us earlier in the day, a couple games for $50,000 each. So I put him on for that. You know, a little more than I'd like to, like that close to post. But all week we were writing nothing but Steeler bets. I said, we'll get this back. You know, as much as I want to take, you know, maybe 40,000-50,000 back. You know, like never got anything back on the Steelers. You know, and it was amazing. I'm sitting there with Jimmy. I said, what happened? Where's all this Steeler money that we've been taking all week?
Yeah,
everybody quit betting them.
And you're kind of a Pittsburgh-y shop to begin with, right?
Yeah, we are. You know, and I don't let that. You know, yeah. I mean, when they kick off, I'm rooting for the Steelers. But before that, it's all business. We have a million Pittsburghers at work here that hang out here. You know, I guess they'd bet earlier and went home to watch the game, whatever. We never got any money back. I mean, I don't want to say any. I moved the number, and I mean, literally within seconds, I got 15,000 on the Steelers. I said, oh, okay, we're going to be fine here. You know, so we wound up needing the Steelers way more than I wanted to, but you know, it's just the way it happened.
Worked out for you. Before we move into these games, heading into Week 18, what's your number one liability to win it all?
To win it all?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Raiders.
Raiders? of teams that are still alive, what's your number one liability?
I'd have to look. We're not in desperate straits anyway.
You're okay.
Have to look. I mean, there's some that aren't so good, but I mean, we're not like sweating any. Big ones. Yeah, we're okay.
And as Las Vegas Chris, because he wanted to hear the answer to that too, he was saying like other shops is Kansas City. So curious what a local shop like yours.
I love Kansas City from the beginning of the year. We've kept them pretty low. So, I mean, I'm in Kansas City winning the Super Bowl would be great for me.
All right, let's go to Saturday. We're the two games and we'll try to
tackle. You're not going to mention the time.
Oh, let's mention the time. I'm sorry. With the intro of Chrissy Andrews and Guessing Lines. He's wearing a special tie today. What you got?
I'm wearing my Penn State tie. I had a couple options today. Steelers, obviously, after that win yesterday. Penguins in a big game with the Bruins, the outdoor game today, which I love watching every year. And Penguins not playing that great all of a sudden. But anyway, Penn State in the Rose Bowl today, so I'm wearing my Penn State tie. Okay, on to the show.
I like Utah, I think. You? You like Penn State?
Hmm?
I like Utah today.
I like Utah.
Yeah,
but again, once they kick off, I'll be rooting for Penn State.
All right, what's Saturday? We know the games they flexed. First one here,
Chiefs versus the Raiders.
Okay, I'll get to the details of the Chiefs and the Broncos a little later. And none of these are extensive recaps. But Mahomes yesterday in the victory against the Broncos, 29-42 for 328, three touchdowns, one pick. He was not sacked. He now needs 430 passing yards to break the NFL single-season record. Peyton Manning's 5,477, 430 shy. And the Chiefs can clinch the number one seed with a win and one Buffalo loss, which, again, as we mentioned, if Buffalo loses tonight, the NFL flexing this game to Saturday then would make the Bills-Patriots game on Sunday a whole different deal than otherwise. Because if the Chiefs then, because a Bills loss tonight, a Chiefs win on Saturday means the Chiefs would get the number one seed, and therefore Buffalo might just lay down against the Patriots, who obviously will get to their scenario to get into the postseason. So it's all about that. And then they're playing the Raiders. Chiefs are at the Raiders. Raiders always give the Chiefs trouble, by the way. The Raiders yesterday, down 14-10, they had a fourth and inches at the San Francisco 2 with 4:33 left in the first half. Jacobs was stuffed. T.Y. McGill got the stop, but short field on the next Raiders drive. 15 seconds left in the half. Stidham to Devontae Adams for 4. I wrote down here a sublime throw and catch. I don't think I've used that word this year in the back corner of the end zone. It was 17-14 Raiders. And then after a Niners 3 and out to start the second half, Stidham to Adams for 60. To go up 24-14, so the Raiders up 10 again. Oh, just where the opponent wants them. That was followed by a Niners 75-yard touchdown drive by McCaffrey, getting in from 14 out, 24-21 Raiders. Stidham was then picked by Drake Jackson with 14:53 left off a deflection off Kerry Hyder Jr.'s face mask, led to a Gould 43-yard game-tying field goal, 24-24. Niners went up 27-24 on a Gould chip shot. Field goal with 6:44 left. And then Daniel Carlson followed with a 57-yard bomb with 4:08 left, tie game 27 apiece. Niners go 75 yards on five plays. Jordan Mason in from 14, 34-27. Niners with 2:17 left, and then the Raiders come right back. They go 75 yards in five plays themselves, including one of the sickest catches you will ever see in your life on a Stidham to Adams 45-yard gain, full extra extended stretch off the defensive back's arm, off the top of his own arm, rolled into a catch. Would have been a crime if the officials had taken it away from him on replay, led to a Jacobs 1-yard run. And the Raiders elected to go for the point after to tie it at 34 apiece. I thought they might go for two there.
I thought they might too, yeah.
1:11 left. Niners go downfield, set up a Gould 41-yard field goal try, which he completely gacked way wide right. Overtime, Raiders won the toss. Fourth play, Nick Bosa pushing the O-lineman into Stidham, causing the ball to flutter on the pass. Picked by Tayshaun Gibson, 56-yard return, half the distance penalty later. Gould set up for a 23-yard field goal, 37-34 Niners. The Raiders eliminated from playoff contention. They're the first team, per ESPN stats and information, in NFL history to lose five games in a season in which they led by 10 or more points in the second half of each. Yesterday to the Niners, Cardinals, Chiefs, Jags, and Rams, the other opponents. Stidham was awesome, though. Something to look forward to for Raiders fans, I guess. 23 of 34 for 365, three touchdowns, two picks. He was not sacked. Seven carries for 34 yards. He's the second quarterback since 1950, Stidham, with 350-plus passing yards, three-plus touchdown passes in his first start. Both of those things. You know who the other one was? Mike White.
Is that right?
Devontae, 7 for 153, two touchdowns, 500 yards of offense for the Raiders, all for naught. Now, here's the thing. We get to the guessing lines portion of this. I assume I'll be way off on a lot of these. I have the Chiefs minus 6 on the road.
Do you think they need the game or don't need the game?
I believe that I have the Bengals tonight. I'm on the Bengals tonight. So for me, I believe they will need it.
Okay, then you're way low. But it's 9.5 and 10 everywhere. My power ratings came to 8. What's the Chiefs' record against the number? It's like 3-13, right?
Not good.
Yeah, I mean, they do not cover big numbers. They win every week. Well, they don't cover numbers. I think this is way too high. Well, let's go. Not way too high. I made it 8. I mean, it's 9.5 and 10. I'm going to be on the low end. I'm going to open 9.5 for now and see what happens tonight. But I definitely want to stay on the low end there.
It's an impossible line to make, though, because you don't know what happens
tonight.
Yeah,
you'll see a lot of numbers come down tonight at kickoff of the Bengal game.
That's the first of two on Saturday. We'll get to the second of two, which is the de facto AFC South championship game. We'll let you know how still both of those teams could get in, the Titans and the Jaguars. That's right. We could have two sub-500 teams still make the postseason. We'll give you that scenario. We'll take a stab at that line. So many scenarios to talk about. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
We get tweets, and we want to be as thorough as possible and try to sort of highlight every possible angle. By the way, Paul Zhang saying there is a offshore that will allow the Cincinnati-New England parlay. Somebody else showing it to me. Here you go, 7-1. So again, what we're referring to is if you think Cincy beats Buffalo tonight, and then you think Kansas City beats the Raiders on Saturday, then Buffalo ostensibly would not have anything to play for. And when I say not anything, what I'm referring to is the number one seed. But as others point out, there could be other motivations. By the way, Phil Weiss checking in at No Filter 37. Chris, he says, as much as I like Chris, I'm terribly disappointed to hear they had a great day.
Well, if it wasn't for the Steeler game, we'd have had a losing day. If that makes you feel any better, Phil.
So Mr. Smith with this angle says, just a reminder that the Bills were in a very similar scenario in 2021 where they had nothing to play for in the final weekend but still blew out a Dolphins team playing to get into the postseason. So, yes, file that away. Thank you, Mr. Smith. And Ben McGovern, even if the Bills lose to the Bengals, next week would remain relevant because if the Bills beat the Pats and the Bengals lose to the Ravens, the Bills would get the number 2 seed. That is correct, instead of the number 3 seed. So, yes, there are those. Yes, absolutely. And there's, by the way, the only seed we know that's locked in right now is the New York Giants being the number 6 seed in the NFC. Everybody else, the Bengals could be 5 different seeds themselves. So, and the Bills as well could be multiple seeds. But what I'm referring to is the number 1 seed. But yes, let's keep all of that stuff in mind for sure. Appreciate all the tweets. Let's go to the second game on Saturday, Wyatt, which is, of course,
got a matchup in the AFC South, the Titans versus the Jaguars.
Okay, and remember the Titans, by the way, Wyatt's a Jaguars guy. Did you catch that right there? And let's just note that as the most. That's our pro tip of the hour. Titans at the Jaguars, the 7-9 Titans, the 8-8 Jaguars. Remember, neither game for these teams meant anything towards the division title this past week. Tennessee, you might recall, Josh Dobbs, 20 of 39 for 232, one touchdown, one pick, 2 sacks, and a fumble lost in what, by any measure, was a great performance 8 days off the street against the Dallas Cowboys, even though the Titans got beat by 14. And then Jacksonville yesterday, they just roll over the Texans. Trevor Lawrence was 17 of 21 for 152, no touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. Etienne, 9 for 108 and a touchdown. Basically, this game was over. I'll just give 2 seconds of it. Texans opening drive, 4th and 1 at their own 45, 11:35 left first quarter. Driscoll, no gain. That led to a Jacksonville Jamichael Hasty 5-yard touchdown run. It was 7-0. Later, Etienne from 62 yards out, a 62-yard dash, 12:30 left in the second quarter, made it 14-0. And the ensuing Texans drive is where it was all over. Second play, Mills hit by Folorunso Fatusaki. That's right. Tyson Campbell scoop and score. It was 21-0. The final was 31-3. It was as if the Texans finally realized after performing great every single week, it seemed like, oh, wait a minute. We're supposed to get the number 1 pick? Because they just saw C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young play. They're like, oh, that's right. We kind of do need a quarterback. So here's the deal on this one, because we talked about how weird it was with the NFL scheduling the Chiefs game on Saturday juxtaposed with, you know, just sort of with this Bengals-Bills game tonight and how it could render the Bills' motivations on a Sunday otherwise than it would have been. This game, the deal is that this is now extra. They gave the Jags short rest when the Titans played a Thursday game.
Ooh, I didn't think of that, yeah.
So the winner will win the AFC South, as we know. But here's the scenario. I was teasing this before the break. Here's the scenario where both the Titans and Jaguars can still make the playoffs, both as sub-500 teams. The Titans win this game. The Bills beat the Pats next week. The Jets beat the Dolphins. And the Steelers lose next week.
Okay, Cleveland. That ain't going to happen. I'm kidding.
By the way, in that scenario, the Titans would win the division and the Jags would get the last AFC wildcard spot. But anyway, funny to think that could still happen. Guesses are so funny this week. I said Jags. I put them in no man's land. -5.5.
It's 6.5. My numbers come to like 9. I mean, the way that the Titans have played, and who's going to be the quarterback? Joshua Dobbs? I thought he played okay.
I think it has to be him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he played okay. But, I mean, the guy's been on like 4 or 5 teams in the NFL. He's not a legitimate NFL star. I was with Pittsburgh for a while. He's supposed to be a great teammate. He's a 4.0 rocket scientist, so he's obviously a brilliant kid. I'm just not sure he could play quarterback in the NFL. And they have lost 6 straight games, Tennessee. And I know we don't love Tannehill all that much, but he's a competent, middle-of-the-road NFL quarterback. Since then, they've not been that. They've lost 6 straight. The Jags playing great ball. Now, they beat the Cowboys. Other than that, they've beaten some pretty bad teams. But I still think this is a team playing great football right now. 2 real good coaches. The short rest, I really didn't think about that, but thanks for pointing that out. But I'm going to be on the high end here. It's pretty much 6.5 everywhere. I'm going to open 7 on this game. I think the Jags are the right side here.
Okay, let's go to Sunday. Now, Sunday, we don't know what game is getting flexed to Sunday night yet. So right now, they're all scheduled at the same time, I guess. Is that the story?
Correct. I believe it comes up Monday, later on tonight.
All right.
So the first game that we have scheduled to talk about, Buccaneers versus the Falcons.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, ladies and gentlemen, have clinched the NFC South. Yet another win in a game they probably shouldn't have won. What a season. They beat the Panthers 30-24, crushing those of us who had the Panthers plus the points yesterday. Panthers started with a 7-play, 75-yard touchdown drive to start things off Darnold to a Tommy Tremble from 17 out, 7-0 Panthers. Then Tampa Bay's first drive, 3rd and 10 at their own 42, 9:20 left first quarter. Brady to Godwin for 25, hit by Sam Franklin Jr. He fumbles, recovered by Xavier Woods. Panthers up 7-0, 4th and 3 at the Tampa Bay 36. They go for it, 9:56 left second quarter. Darnold to DJ Moore for 7, 3 plays later, Darnold to Moore for 24, 14-0 Panthers. And then it starts to unravel, 2:18 left in the half. Brady to Evans, mark that down as a portent of things to come, for 63, touchdown, cuts it to 14-7. And then third play on the ensuing Panthers drive. We're still in the first half. 2nd and 7 at their own 28, 2:04 left in the half. Darnold fumbles, Devin White recovers. But the Bucs, who are set up nicely, have to settle for a suck-up 22-yard field goal on a 4th and 1 at the Carolina 4. They decide to kick the field goal, 14-10 Panthers. 1st and 10, Tampa Bay 41, 10:57 left third quarter. Darnold picked by Sean Murphy bunting at the Tampa Bay 2. Bucks matriculate all the way to the Carolina 15, 4th and 2. Brady to Gage for 5, but they have to settle for another field goal. After a 15-play drive, suck up 26-yard out, blocked by Derrick Brown, and it remains 14-10. And that's where you thought, okay, Panthers are going to take this. And then the Panthers added. They go 91 yards in 9 plays, capped by a Darnold to Shai Smith, 19-yard touchdown pass, 3rd and 7 from the Tampa Bay 19 with 14:56 left, 21-10 Panthers. But then Tom Brady does goat things. 3rd and 6 at the Tampa Bay 43, 13:58 left. Brady to Evans again for 57. The depleted Panthers secondary just getting torched deep. Touchdown. 2-point conversion fails. Still 21-16 Carolina. Then after a Carolina punt, Bucks go 8 plays, 92 yards. Brady to Evans again. This time from 30 out. 2-point conversion. Good. Tampa Bay first lead of the game. 24-21. 2:32 left. Darnold sacked. The most important play of the game. Darnold sacked by Anthony Nelson. Fumbles recovered by Vita Vea. 2 plays later at the 2-minute warning. Brady sneak. You know that little sneak he does underneath. Extra point from suck up. No good. Tampa Bay up 30-21. And if you're a Panthers backer like myself, you're like, 20 Tampa Bay fourth quarter points. Good God, how has this happened? But the Panthers matriculate. And then because I had the Panthers, Chrissy, Steve Wilks decides to kick a Pinheiro 49-yard field goal. He does the correct thing.
He does the
Madden thing with 59 seconds left, 30-24, but all but ensuring the Bucs cover in that. And then Tampa Bay recovered the onside kick, but Carolina had all 3 timeouts left. Punt was forced, snap low, by the way. One of the plays that'll get lost in history where Kamara fielded it off a skip, ran to his left, punted it with his right foot. It was downed at the Carolina 2. Didn't matter. It was legal man downfield, so he got to repunt it. So Carolina, but it was just an amazing play by him. Panthers started at their own 10, 26 seconds left. Second play after the after a penalty that took them from their own 4. Darnold to Shai Smith for 38. Spike, false start later from their own 37. A pitchy woo-woo that got interesting, but ultimately failed. Ball game. Carolina eliminated. Tampa Bay clinches the NFC South. Tom Brady, 34 of 45 for 432. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Scored a touchdown on the ground. His first career game. Tom Brady's first career game with 400-plus passing yards, 3 touchdown passes, and 1 rushing touchdown. You believe that? Evans, 10 for 207, 3 touchdowns. They were plus 2 in turnovers, the big one, that last Darnold fumble that quickly led to Tampa Bay going up 2 scores late, 30-21. That was the key score of the game. They're playing Atlanta. Atlanta, nothing to say about that game. Young Hae Koo hit a 21-yard field goal with no time left to win it for Atlanta, 20-19 against the Cardinals. But Cardinals backers did get the cover. Ritter was 19 of 26 for 169 in that game. Tampa Bay's going to sit everybody, I would imagine. So Atlanta, I don't know, 4.5. I don't know. I'll just throw out any number.
7.5 Atlanta.
I mean, how could that be? 7.5.
My power rankings are like 12 points off. But I can't argue with it. I don't know.
Week 18 guessing lines is stupid.
Yeah. But I do want to point something out about Tampa Bay. Or if you remember, I think it was preseason. We're going to run out of time. Let me hit it when I get back.
Let's get back. Tampa Bay going to the playoffs, going to have a home playoff game, probably against Dallas, but we'll see. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today. You also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, betting splits, and betting reports. It's a limited time offer, though, so sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness. VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews. You wanted to say something about the Bucks?
Okay, two things. First of all, the first one is if you go onto the openers and click on openers on Dawn Best, the openers are anywhere between Atlanta 1 and Atlanta 9.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's comedy right there.
Yeah.
But the thing I do want to point out about Tampa, if you remember in the, I think before the actual season started, it was in the preseason, Ryan Jensen, their center,
yes,
got hurt.
Yes.
He might be back for the playoffs. He's on like that 21-day off of IR. They could see how he responds. That was a big thing with Tampa Bay because if you could pressure Brady up the middle, takes him off his game. And if he's back and if he's 100%, you know, that may be a big plus for Tampa Bay.
And could you imagine if this team, the 8-8 Buccaneers, at least that's where they stand now. Who knows? Could be 8-9 headed into the postseason. If they all of a sudden, because my Dallas Cowboy fan friends, they are terrified of having to play at Tampa Bay because it is Tom Brady, right? And like you point out, if Jensen is back, could you imagine if they made a postseason run and they have stunk all year?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I was starting thinking about it. I think it was 2008, maybe, or 9. Remember when the Arizona Cardinals made the play? And all year, this is with Kurt Warner, all year, everybody, because they were going to win a very weak division. All year, everybody's saying, I can't wait for the Cardinals to get into the playoffs. I can't wait to bet against them. They wind up in the Super Bowl and had the Steelers on the ropes. They hit San Antonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone. So, you know, I'm just telling you, I've talked about it before. You look at that bell-shaped curve, the tails are a lot thicker than you think, which – Ryan Jensen coming back, if he's 100%, that can make a big difference.
We get tweets of beating the book. The Ben McGovern one, which I ended with last segment. Again, the Bills lose to the Bengals next week would remain relevant because if the Bills beat the Pats and the Bengals lose to the Ravens, Bills would get the number 2 seed instead of the number 3 seed. I would also just like to throw in, be careful because as bettors, sometimes we overrate the difference in seeding. Obviously, number
100%.
Number one is its own thing. But we tend to overrate the other, you know, where you fall otherwise much more than the teams do sometimes. But you're right, the Bills do have a history of also trying in these situations. Andrew also chiming in that a book took a parlay, Cincy tonight, Kansas City and the Pats, that paid plus 935. Mike Ross, are you really a true yinzer if you don't use one of your free bets on the Steelers to make the playoffs at 14-1? Gil, just in case you haven't heard yet, Tomlin has never finished below 500. I have not heard that. Let's see. And angriest guy in New Jersey. Yeah, Houston, get the number one pick and take Bryce Young so you can stink for another 10 years. I saw your tweet. I agree with you, though.
Yeah,
C.J. Stroud at 6'3". To me, and I love Bryce Young. Bryce Young had nothing to play for against Kansas State. It was going up against a good defense. He was amazing. But man, C.J. Stroud.
I see. He's a big, strong man. You know, he really is. Yeah. And Bryce Young, I don't mean to knock Bryce Young. I do not. That it's not like, you know, we got to Kyler Murray. I knocked the hell out of him.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. I just would rather have Stroud than Young. I just think he'll make a better pro.
Let's go to continued games on Sunday now.
Oh, I haven't given you my number yet for the Falcons game. 7.5.
Oh, I didn't know what you put in the end.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. 7.5. I don't know.
I just threw out 4.5. I thought I was being so smart. I don't know, 4.5.
Next game, we've got the Patriots against the Bills.
Okay. So the Patriots beat the Dolphins. Dolphins backers get the money, though, yesterday. 1st and 10 for the Patriots at the Miami 40, 13-39 left first quarter. We're just over a minute in. Mostert clearly fumbles the football. Do you remember this play yesterday? Ruled forward progress stopped. Yeah. That's how that one started. Miami eventually punted, but still, though, interesting call by the officials there. Later down 7-0, the Dolphins legit are prepared to go for it 4th and 1 at their own 34 with 5:39 left in the first quarter, but they get a false start, so they're going to punt it. But then New England runs into the kicker, so it's back to 4th and 1. They go for it at their own 34. They convert Jeff Wilson Jr. for 2. 9 plays later, Tyreek rushes it in from 2 out, 7-7. Remember that sequence, because that's what determined the money, really, in the end. Miami up 14-10. Teddy Bridgewater picked by Kyle Duggar. 39 yards to the house, 16-14 Patriots. Folk doinked the extra point. Bridgewater hurt his finger, we think on the tackle, though there was some confusion about that when he was stiff-armed by Duggar, some people saying on the throw itself. 4th straight game, by the way, for New England with a defensive touchdown, but it knocked out Teddy Bridgewater. We'll get to the Dolphins portion of this later. Skylar Thompson in 14-24 left. He gets picked on his first drive, 3rd and 14 at the New England 42 by Jonathan Jones, but New England does have to punt. The Dolphins did too, and then really the key sequence, we talked about how Steve Wilson decided to go for 3 first, determining the ultimate outcome of that point spread between the Panthers and the Bucks. Well, New England, they go 89 yards, 12 plays, Jones to Myers from 1 out to make it 23-14, and then after Miami was stopped on downs, New England decides to go for it, up 9, 4th and 4 at the Miami 29 with 2:32 left. Very curious decision, because you kick a field goal there, they need 2 touchdowns. You blow this, it's a touchdown and a field goal, right? They go for it, and Jones takes a sack. So the Dolphins get it with 2:32 left. They matriculate, they convert a 4th and 7. Of course they do it. The New England 48 with 2 minutes left. Thompson to Tyreek for 17. 4 plays later, Thompson to Gesicki for 4. 23-21, Dolphins get the back door, but Pats win it when they recover the onside kick. Mac Jones, 20 of 33 for 203, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Only 14 first downs for the Pats, 249 total yards, but they were +2 in turnovers. Won the Duggar pick 6. Now, Pats currently in the number 7 hole in the AFC playoff picture. They control their own destiny. If they win at Buffalo, they're in, period. But remember, Buffalo may or may not need it for the number 1 seed. So it's a simple picture for New England. They're at Buffalo. Buffalo, sight unseen, they play tonight. I said Buffalo -7 as a placeholder here.
Yeah, 7. There's a couple 7.5s. I see 7 with some juice on the favorite. You know, my number comes to 8.5. But I know I have to have a little leeway in there, because I'm with you. The seeding may mean more to the media.
Yes.
Us than it does to the actual team.
Besides the number 1 seed.
Yeah, other than the number 1 seed, of course, that one. And I really like the way the NFL has done that, because it really makes you want to play for that number 1 seed.
Yeah.
Because 1 and 2 were almost meaningless
before.
That
ended up being a great move on
their part. Yeah, that was a good move on their part. I'm going to open 7.5. I really, you know, I think really when you look back, Bill Belichick has done a hell of a job coaching this team. You know, one of his best jobs. Mac Jones, not the answer. Just a guy.
Chrissy Andrews, everybody, coming strong. What's next? Let's squeeze one more in.
Next one, we've got the Minnesota Vikings taking on the Chicago Bears.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Minnesota, 4th double-digit loss this season. They get housed by the Packers. Pack had a 4th and 3 at their own 28 with 11:58 left in the first quarter. Josh Metellus blocked a Pat O'Donnell punt. Dallin Leavitt recovered it for the Packers, but the Vikings started at the Green Bay 1, stopped on 3 downs, and that, ladies and gentlemen, should have been a portent of things to come. They settle for the field goal 3-0, and then Keyshawn Nixon takes the ensuing kickoff. What a weapon he's become. 105 yards to the house, 7-3 Green Bay. But then after Vikings punt, Green Bay has 4th and 1 at the Minnesota 39, 6:37 left in the first quarter. They go for it. Rodgers sacked by Dalvin Tomlinson. All right, some life maybe. Minnesota then has a 4th-and-3 of their own. Four plays later, Green Bay 37, 5:33 left. Cousins picked off a deflection, defended by Rasul Douglas, snatched out of the air by Darnell Savage, 75 yards to the hizzy, 14-3 Green Bay. And then it's just a comedy. Joseph misses a 46-yarder. Pack go up 17-3. Cousins throws another pick, this time to Adrian Amos. Packers matriculate to go up 24-3. Rodgers to Tonyan for 21. Then Joseph misses a 50-yarder. Crosby makes a 56-yarder that bounces off the crossbar. Everything going Green Bay's way, 27-3 at the half. The only thing I'll mention from the second half, Cousins sacked and fumbled on a 2nd and 10 at Green Bay 15. At the Green Bay 15 with 7:11 left in the third quarter. Pack matriculated to make it 34-3. Cousins then immediately picked again by Rudy Ford on the first Minnesota play of the fourth quarter. Short field led to another Packer score. And it was 41-3. Two garbage touchdowns made it the 41-17 final. Cousins 18 of 31 for 205. One touchdown, three picks, all costly. Two sacks, twice sacked, lost a fumble. Justin Jefferson, one catch for 15 yards, targeted five times. Jair Alexander called it a fluke the first game. Jefferson's great performance against the Packers in the first game of the season. Man, oh man, did he back it up. -4 in turnovers for the Vikings led directly to 28 Green Bay points, including that pick six. Vikings will still be a number two or number three seed, though, in the NFC playoffs. They are 12-4 with a -19-point differential. They are 11-0 in one-score games. As Aaron Schott said, they are historically interesting.
Yeah.
And they're playing the Bears. I won't get into the details, but they got housed by the Lions. I'll say the Vikings -2.5, but I don't know.
I mean, the Vikings are still playing, am I right?
They are still playing.
Yeah, I mean, they're not locked into the three seed.
It's 2 or 3, though.
Two or three.
Yeah.
They're still playing. Do we forget how terrible this Bears team is? I mean, yesterday they were big steam, the Bears. And I went on the show, and we're running out of time here.
I keep running.
I hate this number, but I'll tell you when we get back.
Got more to say about it. On the other side, whole bunch to get to. Scenarios coming up. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews. We're guessing lines for Week 18. Not so much emphasis on the guessing part this week, quite frankly, because it is squirrely. By the way, we got stopped on Minnesota at Chicago. Real quick on the Bears. 9th loss in a row against the Lions. The Lions obviously heavily motivated in that game to keep their playoff hopes alive, which they did. We'll get to their scenarios momentarily. There was some trading of touchdowns on the first two drives. Fields had 105 rushing yards by the end of the Bears' second drive, and the Bears were actually up 10-7. He had a 60-yard scamper. But then after that, it was two sustained Lions drives, and they capitalized on a Fields fumble to add a field goal late. 24-10 Lions at the half, and the route was on. They won it 41-10. Fields only ended up completing 7 forward passes in this game. 7 of 21 for 75, sacked 7 times, 10 for 132 on the ground. Only, what was it, 9 first downs in this game? I'll have to check on that. He needs 64 yards, Fields does, to break Lamar Jackson's single-season quarterback rushing record of 1206. But the Bears were outgained 504 to 230. They only ended up, after sacks, with 30 passing yards. That's all they had in that game. They were -2 in turnovers. But those really only led to 3 Detroit points. That wasn't the story. Domination was. The reason I guess this Minnesota -2.5 at Chicago is, again, this comes back to seeding. So Minnesota's either going to end up with the number two or the number three. But they know the Giants are locked in at number six. That's the only seed we know locked in. So the Vikings, if they end up 3, which means nothing really to play for here, they'll get a home game against the Giants as opposed to winning and then risking having a home game against either the Packers or the Lions or the Seahawks. So if they're thinking about that, then maybe my -2.5 is even too high.
Well, according to what the numbers are out here, that is too high because it's pretty much 1 Vikings. I keep saying, I mean, I'm looking back. The Bears have lost 9 straight. The Bears are horrible. There's a couple teams tied at the bottom of my power rankings, but the Bears are among them. They're terrible. Yeah. I mean, yesterday was big steam on the Bears against Detroit. And I remember last week on the show, I said, this number's crazy. Detroit should be a much bigger favorite. I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of guys got closing line value betting the Bears yesterday against Detroit. They could have it again if they want. But
CLV trash can.
They are terrible. This Bears team is horrible. So it's one everywhere. I'm going to open two just to stay ahead of it. But I don't know. I mean, to me, the Vikings can just, you know, walk out on the field and beat this horrible Bears team.
Or they could play nobody.
Maybe. That's I mean, thing. It's week 18. Yeah. Or what the hell week
or
is it? 19.
They could play
nobody. Whatever.
By the way, Kirk Cousins of the Vikings, as Aaron Schott said, historically interesting. If they don't play the Giants, it's like they should be a dog in every game.
Yeah. Another one, just a guy.
Cousins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started. That's why Washington wouldn't do the long-term deal.
Yeah. I think they played it right, you know.
Yeah.
But I like
not that they ended up with anything better.
No. Well, we're going to get to that later, too. But I've said on this show in the last couple of weeks, I think these monstrous deals for these quarterbacks are just bad for the league.
We've said it many times. This is my biggest sort of rant about economic structure in the NFL. The point is that teams are forced to make huge financial decisions before they truly know what they have.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest, cruelest, sickest joke of the NFL. Wyatt, next.
Next game, we've got the Ravens facing off against the Bengals.
Oh, Chrissy's excited. We get to talk about this from last night. Ravens and the Bengals. Okay, so the Ravens could have won the NFC North with two wins in their last two games, but they lose to the Steelers last night. So now they are going to be reduced to a wild card if Cincinnati beats Buffalo tonight. Yesterday against the Steelers, 3-3 game. 3rd-and-16 for Baltimore at the Pittsburgh 22 with 22 seconds left in the first half. Chrissy, you know where I'm going with this. 3-3 game, 3rd-and-16. Sets should have set up a Justin Tucker field goal when J.K. Dobbins was stopped after a 7-yard pickup. But Cameron Hayward called for unnecessary roughness on the pile. Replay seemed to show him getting yanked down. Instead, he gets flagged, and instead of a field goal try, next play, Huntley to Likely for 7, 10-3 Baltimore at the half. And that really colored that entire game till the last drive.
That was so egregious. I mean, the referee should not determine the game. That play at that point in time had nothing to do with the play on the field. And they asked the ref afterwards because Hayward's arm, like, hit the ref. So they asked him, was it because Hayward hit you? He said, no, it was because he wouldn't stop pushing. Wouldn't stop pushing. What are you talking about? I mean, if you ever, you know, the ref, I would pray that he's at least seen one Raven-Steeler game in the last decade.
Yes.
You know, every inch of ground is fought for as hard as any matchup in the NFL. As hard as, and I know I'm very biased, but a lot of people would tell you the same thing.
I sympathize with you. I sympathize with you. It really did cast a pall over that whole game until that last drive.
It did. I mean, that's not how that game should have been decided, and that was an extra 4 points. So every inch, every point, certainly in those games, are fought for tooth and nail. I was on a thread with like 10 guys from Pittsburgh, and before that, we said, "Boys, we're looking at a street fight here." That's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a vicious, vicious rivalry, and that ref was so out of line with that call.
And Cameron Hayward was pushed. So let's get to it. The last drive of the game, or the last meaningful drive of the game, the second to last, as it really turned out. But the Pittsburgh Steelers start with the ball at their own 20, down 13-9 with 4:16 left. Harris for 7, Harris for 2, Pickett for 1, first down. By the way, Najee Harris was absolutely out of his mind last night. That
Maybe
was the
I
best,
will fall in love with him.
Best
Maybe
game of his career.
Absolutely.
Love that kid. Then Pickett to Freiermuth for 20, to Steven Sims for 28, former skin. 1:59 left. Pickett to Sims for 4, Harris for 5, Pickett for 1 on the 3rd-and-1, pushed by Najee to the first down. And then it's 1st-and-10 at the 12, the Baltimore 12 with 1:10 left. Remember, they're losing 13-9. And at this point, I was like, they should just run the ball and try to control this clock, get his load down. But they throw a pass, pick it incomplete to Deontay Johnson in the back of the end zone. I was like, what are they doing? Then Najee for 2 yards. Okay, they ran. So Baltimore used their final timeout there. So 1:02 left, down 13-9, third down, third and long. Pickett flushed out to his left. Looked like he was going to get sacked. He finds Najee in the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh up 16-13 with 56 seconds left. How about these kids? First touchdown by a visiting team in Baltimore in 15 quarters. Baltimore begins at their own 25 after the touchback. Huntley incomplete, intended for Likely. Then holding on Baltimore, 45 seconds left, second and 20 at their own 15. Huntley to Andrews for 18, but the clock rolls. Andrews again for 5. They end up with the first and 10 at their own 38, 21 seconds left. They spike it, but then picked by Minka Fitzpatrick. Ball game. Steelers stay alive. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season, and he still hasn't yet. Wow. Now, if the Bengals win tonight, they win the AFC North, and the Ravens are a wild card, as we said earlier. Pittsburgh is in the playoffs with a win in this game, and New England, excuse me, Pittsburgh, we haven't gotten to the game, we're talking about Baltimore here, but Pittsburgh is in with a win this coming week, and New England and Miami losses. So three things have to happen for the Pittsburgh Steelers to make the postseason. They win, and New England and Miami loses. By the way, they're playing Cincinnati. Baltimore is next week. As we said, this could be a game for the AFC North title. It might not be. Again, if Cincinnati wins tonight, it will not be. But if Cincinnati were to lose tonight, this Baltimore Bengals game would be for the AFC North, and you would imagine they would probably flex this to Sunday night if that's the scenario. Cincinnati could still be 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. Again, they clinched the number one seed. By the way, we should point out the Bengals still have a way to clinch the number one seed with a win versus the Bills and versus the Ravens next week and a Chiefs loss to the Raiders on Saturday. Bengals clinched the North with a win tonight or a win versus the Ravens. So all these kinds of scenarios. I said Cincinnati minus 4.5, but again, I'll just throw that out there.
Well, I'm assuming it's going to be Huntley for the Ravens.
That's the other thing.
Which is a big, big difference.
Yes.
And I kind of made a joke about it. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, between him and Lamar Jackson, you know, Huntley and Jackson, well, they're both black. They both like to run. They're about the same. No, they're not. They're way different.
Who said that? Wow.
Lamar Jackson was, you know, a unanimous MVP a couple years ago, which I went on here and said, yeah, he absolutely deserved it. If he's healthy, he's a terrific quarterback. Huntley is not that good.
I'm going to just go ahead here because we're running the wall, but look, Lamar Jackson is probably he's probably not going to play in this game. The question is he ready for the playoffs? Do we know that for sure?
I don't know.
And then the contract is the big elephant in the room. Coming back.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek, in for Kelly Bidlin, still recovering from the vid, as we call it. Chris Andrews, my mishpucha, runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook right behind us from where we broadcast here in the South Point. Lovely tip of the strip. Joins us once again. Next week, when it's just the playoffs, we'll still have you in. We'll do the 8 o'clock Pacific hour.
Sounds great.
11 a.m. Eastern hour. Still do an hour with Chrissy next week. Not really guessing lines, but just any excuse to talk football with you and lines.
There'll be a lot to talk about, I think, yeah.
So, by the way, pro tip of the hour last hour, we forgot to give the pro tip. And the pro tip had to do with seedings. Ben McGovern tweeted in about this. So shout out to Ben for sort of inspiring this. But when it doesn't involve the number one seed, bettors will often overrate the motivation to get the higher seeds beyond the first seed, for example, you know, whether to get the number two or the number three. Now, even that's not a static thing, right? Because I can make the argument that Buffalo, that you might overrate Buffalo's desire. If Buffalo is knocked out of the number one seed sweepstakes by the end of Saturday, meaning they lose tonight to the Bengals and then the Chiefs win on Saturday, I think you might overrate the Bills' motivation of whether they get, you know, two or three or whatever. As opposed to the Vikings, which we just talked about, where I actually think it would matter because the Vikings might make the assessment, I think we'd like that home game against the Giants. Maybe we should be number three. Maybe we shouldn't play anybody. So I think you got to always consider all the factors. That's your VSiN Pro Tip of the Hour. We do one every hour on the network every day. That's at least 20 every day. Searchable at VSiN.com for VSiN Pro subscribers only. Now, we get tweets at Beating the Book because I want to get to everybody's thoughts. Everybody's checking in today with all their thoughts on this, and it's great to get everybody's perspective. T-Berg at T-Berg underscore 95. Chiefs also can't be happy being moved to Saturday, now playing on a short week on the road. Yeah, but you're right, T-Berg, but the point that I was making about the Jags and the Titans, remember the Titans played on Thursday, so they get the they get the super extra rest as opposed to the Jaguars having the short turnaround. Oh, plus the V analytics, our buddy Matt Matt was on the show from Plus EV Analytics, super sharp guy who was kind enough to join us in studio in the preseason. He went 5-2 for 7.15 units in his one appearance on the show, giving his full season thoughts on the NFL. So he said to me, same time next year, Gil? I said, absolutely. Would love to have Matt back in. Did you meet him by any chance?
I don't think so.
No. Oh, super nice guy. Let's see here. This is from... Oh, and this is from Guy in the Cornfields. And let me just... He goes, Gil, appreciate your many great insights. However, the Riverboat Ron 2022 Coach of the Year talk wasn't one of them. The minute he brought Wentz back was the dagger. Now, a couple things. You're right. The Carson Wentz thing ends up being a disaster. Believe me, when they traded for him, I was the first person in line to be like, what are we doing? But can we just clarify the coach? It's funny when you say things here and then people misconstrue them.
Oh, tell
and
me
then
about
you,
it.
And then you get quoted as something you didn't say at all. I, in fact, said, I'm not saying Ron Rivera should be coach of the year. What I was saying was, and if you go back to the tape, I wish there was tape where we could prove this, right? What I was saying was, any world in which Dan Campbell's plus 175 to win coach of the year, Brian Daboll is 30-1, and Ron Rivera is 100-1, is not a world of any reality. That's the quote. Not that I thought Ron Rivera should be the coach of the year. It's amazing to me. But thank you, Guy in the Cornfields. I appreciate that. You're very kind. Let's see. Oh, and Jack Bauer, play off the 24/7 character, saying that those parlays, if you believe the Bengals win tonight, and then the Patriots will then win against a less motivated Bills team if the Chiefs win on Saturday. People are taking that parlay. People are jumping on it. And then Mark Geiger, in-house attorney, regarding NFL economics. Hard for me to feel sorry for the economic woes of a bunch of billionaires. I can shake my head that they pay these athletes, entertainers this much, while school teachers and nurses barely make ends meet. But that's the system they created, all about the money. Well, that's a straw man's argument. I'm not talking about that. That's right.
Yeah, that's not my point either. Yeah. It's the fact that we're living in an environment where there's a salary cap.
That's right.
I mean, it's bad for the league. You know, listen, I'd love to see teachers make a lot of money. I think that'd be fantastic. But, you know, that ain't
what we're talking about.
It's not apples and oranges. It's apples and giraffes. You know,
that's right.
It's all different things.
Wyatt, what's next on a Sunday where we still don't know what the Sunday
No, I haven't put up my Bengals number yet.
Your Bengals number, I'm sorry.
My numbers came higher, like 9, but I think I got to put some leeway in there. So I'm going to open 7, which is pretty much what it is.
Bengals minus 7.
Yeah. Bills minus 7. We're at the Bengals. I'm sorry. The Bengals minus 7, yeah.
Bengals minus 7 over Baltimore, back from last segment. Yeah, and I'll just say this again about the Lamar Jackson thing. So it will be Tyler Huntley as far as we can tell for this week. But this Lamar Jackson knee injury, and maybe I'm wrong. You tell me if I'm wrong. Is one of the most subterfuge secret sort of injuries. Remember when Andrew Luck, remember the summer when Andrew Luck eventually retired? And I remember we were like August 15th and I was like, do we even know like what's happening with him?
Yeah.
And then we found out he was done. The Lamar Jackson, he's missed 4 games now with this knee injury. I think he'll be back for the playoffs, but like we have no indication that that's 100% sure.
No. And you know, I remember we talked about this, talking heads on ESPN were saying he should not take one nickel less than what Deshaun Watson got.
That's the elephant in the room.
Boy, that's a bad take. And let me tell you this. If you are his mother's his agent, your mother does not have an objective opinion on what you are worth.
Can you imagine
your mother?
My mom was...
Oh, my God.
Gilly is very good. You should give him everything. What do you mean you don't like him? So he's completely... It's just a great. Can you imagine? Where's my mom, the Jewish mother? She's my agent. All right, Wyatt, what's next? What's next on Monday, on Sunday?
I love your impersonations of your parents. It's the best thing.
I never met her, and I think it's hilarious.
Oh, next one, we've got Chargers against the Broncos.
Well, I know everything about you, Chrissy. Chargers, 4 wins in a row. This is their longest streak under Brandon Staley. How about that? Herbert, 21 of 28 for 212. And the Chargers win against the Rams yesterday. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. Eckler, 10 for 122 and 2 touchdowns on the ground. 4 catches for 39. Eckler finds the end zone. Now, here's the deal with the Chargers, because there's no need to get into the details of the Chargers-Rams game. But the Chargers will be the number 5 seed if they win this game at Denver, period. Because they got their Baltimore loss that they needed last night. So think about that for the Chargers. They beat Denver. They're the number 5 seed. You know what that means. That is a first playoff game on the road against either Jacksonville or Tennessee. So that's a nice spot for the Chargers to be, and no offense to either the Jaguars or the Titans. So they beat the Broncos. They are the number five seed. Now, as far as the Broncos are concerned, we don't have to get too much into this, but they lose to the Chiefs yesterday. Broncos have not won a road game in North America this season. Chiefs were up. They converted a fourth and one at the Denver 44 in their first drive. Three plays later, Pacheco in from five. It was 6-0. They muffed the snap on the PAT. Up 6-3, 7:57 left in the second quarter. Mahomes, when they were driving, they was picked on a third and goal at the Denver 10 by Justin Simmons. The Broncos eventually punted, but Kadarius Toney fumbled on the return. Eric Sauber recovered it on the next play, and then on the next play, rather, Wilson takes it in from 16 out. 10-6 Broncos. Chiefs now down 13-10. Chiefs up are 13-10. So the Broncos are down 13-10, third quarter. 63-yard Denver drive capped by a Wilson to Albert Okwugbunam 25-yard touchdown pass. 17-13 Broncos. 6:35 left in the quarter. So the Broncos actually had put up a fight after their horrible performance against the Rams. Then after trading punts, all KC from there. 65-yard touchdown drive. Mahomes to Blake Bell put KC back up 20-17. Wilson was picked by L'Jarius Sneed on the first play of the next drive. Four plays later, Mahomes to McKinnon for three. 27-17. Figured it's over with 12:36 left. Denver did have a long touchdown drive, though. Wilson in from four to make it 27-24. But it finally ended on a fourth and two at their own 45 with 1:21 left when Wilson threw an incomplete pass intended for Latavius Murray. Could have been ruled in the grass. But anyway, ball game. Wilson, 26 of 38 for 222, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked four times, two rushing touchdowns, but he did lose a fumble. Anyway, Chargers at the Broncos. Chargers, as we just talked about, if you want that number five seed, they're motivated. I said Chargers minus three. I might be low.
My numbers come to exactly three. I see three with juice on the favorite. You know, 3-20. I mean, I guess I'm going to open three. That is what my numbers come to, but I think they're going to bet me the Chargers, and I'll take a bet and then go to 3.5. You know, we don't mess with the juice on those threes. But I think the public will bet the Chargers, and they might have the right idea here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take a bet.
Because if you're the Chargers, you want to play at Jacksonville or Tennessee as opposed to Buffalo, KC, or Cincinnati in any
Makes
form.
Sense. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Should we squeeze in one more? Let's squeeze in one more real quick here.
The most exciting game next week, Lions versus Packers. No bias here.
8-8 against 8-8. Both teams still alive. Now, this is interesting because Goff in that win, he was 21 of 29 for 255. Talking about their win against the, who'd they play? The Bears yesterday, wasn't it? Who'd the Lions play? Yeah. 41-10 win over the Bears. Yeah. Three touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. 14 touchdowns, no picks last six games for Jared Goff. How about
He's
that?
He's playing great.
14-0. Jamal Williams, 22 for 144, led the league in rushing yesterday with a touchdown. They outgained Chicago, as we mentioned, 504 to 230. They held Chicago to 30 passing yards. They were plus two in turnovers, but there was just utter domination. Turnovers didn't really make the difference. Detroit currently in eighth place in the NFC, but between them, Seattle, and Green Bay, they have the least chance because they need to beat the Packers and have Seattle lose to the Rams to get into the playoffs. So after all of this, that's the predicament the Lions are in. Green Bay, on the other hand, 16-0 now in December under Matt LaFleur. Their win over the Vikings, they crushed the Vikings. Rodgers with 15 of 24 for 159, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. Aaron Jones, 14 for 111. They were plus four in turnovers, which led directly to 28 points, as we talked about, including the pick six. Now, here's the thing with the Packers. Currently, at this moment, they're in ninth place. But they have the best chance between them, the Seahawks and the Lions, of getting in the postseason because all they have to do is beat Detroit. And even if Seattle wins, doesn't matter. They get in on a conference record tiebreaker. Green Bay minus three, I guess.
My numbers come to five, mm-hmm. Green Bay. It's 4.5 everywhere. So I'm not going to dicker.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. Yep. I'm not going to dicker with that half point. I'm going to open 4.5. I think that's okay. Lions are playing great. Can I tell you one thing? When Green Bay gets in the playoffs, I'm going to love to bet against them. They're just not that good.
Not that good. But you can't flex this game to Sunday because – again, if Seattle wins earlier, then Detroit is done.
Yeah.
So that will take away some of the drama. It won't matter to Green Bay, though. More coming up. Guessing Lines.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Betting Splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. Today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Nicely done, Wyatt. Well done.
See, now it's the opposite. You remember last week you hated it. Isaiah liked it. Now this week you like it, but Isaiah hates it.
Well, Isaiah and I don't see eye to eye much.
He is shorter than you, so.
Do you know one time... Yeah, gotcha. One time, Roxy, we were doing primetime action, and Roxy just rolled up into the studio. I'm like, Roxy, come in on this. Isaiah was like, you can tell Gil we cannot have Roxy on the show. I'm like, it's Roxy. That's me. Really? That's me and Isaiah's highlight. Yeah. Mount Rushmore. I love you, Isaiah.
If the Pope showed up for Mass. No. We got this, planned out
if
already.
The Pope showed up for Mass. All right, we get tweets. By the way, a couple corrections. One, obviously, besides the Giants being locked into the number six seed, obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are locked into the four. That's my I just wanted to clarify that. And the other thing is I had said they cannot flex the Packers and the Lions to Sunday night is what I meant. Obviously all the other games are Sunday besides the two on Saturday. Because, again, if the Seahawks win early Sunday and you flex the Packers and the Lions to Sunday night, Lions got nothing to play for, so the cachet of that game.
Those of us with a brain knew what you were talking about.
Okay, I'm just curious. Elvis Toast Patterson. Gilly, I know Mondays are for guessing lines, but I'm interested, did Chrissy or any other of the Vegas bookmakers take down the Citrus Bowls they did here in New Jersey, referring to Drew Brees becoming an assistant coach?
And he has a deal with PointsBet.
And he has a deal with PointsBet, which, by the way, how can he didn't see that coming?
The answer is no.
No. The answer is no. You guys didn't care. Bainbridge DeWeese. Now, this is an interesting tweet. Gil, I got your point about seeding, but don't you think Minnesota would rather have home field advantage against San Francisco? I assume he's talking about the next round. And if Buffalo loses tonight, don't you think they'll want home field for the rematch against the Bengals? Yes and yes, but again, this gets back to the pro tip, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, in theory, sure, but what does Minnesota value the most? Health with their players. By the way, there's a Justin Jefferson factor. Michael Montesano checks in also. He's like, well, they want Justin Jefferson to get the record, so 2,000 yards. Calvin Johnson's at 19, high 1900s, but no one's ever done 2,000 before. So there's all these things. So yes, in theory, but these teams will prioritize things differently than we often think, I guess is the point.
Yeah, and exactly. What goes into that? They're going to study harder all week watching film? They're going to play harder once they hit the field on Saturday or Sunday? I don't know.
FX Man 242, the next best VSiN t-shirt, apples and giraffes. So awesome. There you go. Chrissy, who has been the inspiration for many a day VSiN t-shirt.
Yeah.
The over-under one is yours, too?
Yeah, it's never under until it's over.
Mitchell Siegel with a fantasy question. I can't answer that one on the air. Let's see. Jason H11 kills mother at his next contract negotiation with VSiN. What do you mean? He goes, compares me to other. No, I won't get into that. That's very clever. And on, we appreciate the tweets. Let's get to some more games. What do we got next?
Next game on tap here, we've got the Texans against the Colts.
Okay.
Well, let's pour over this one.
You want to spend 10 minutes on this? Houston, as I mentioned earlier, 2-13-1. It's like they finally figured out they should play poorly to get the number one pick yesterday against the Jags. Mills was 22-40 for 202. They only had 13 first downs. And then there's the Colts. The Colts, who are 4-11-1. Jeff Saturday's record as interim coach, 1-6. The Colts are 0-4 in games this season not started by Matty Ice. By the way, real quick, 10 seconds for this game. The Colts were down 14-3, 1:54 left in the half, 3rd-and-11 at their own 46. Foles pick 6, 21-3, and the Giants could already smell the postseason. Foles would end up getting knocked out on the ensuing drive, and it was 24-3 at the half, 38-10 final. Foles 8 of 13 for 81, Ellinger 9 of 14 for 60. They only had 14 first downs and 252 total yards. I put Indianapolis and Sam Ellinger at -3, because what else are you going to do?
Well, you're right on. I made it pick because I don't know what the hell to do with this game. Yeah. I don't know. I thought pick was, tell me, but I mean, it's 3 everywhere. I guess I don't want to dicker with this one either. I'm going to go with 3, but if I wouldn't be surprised if this drops. I don't know what either team's motivation is, except for maybe the Texans to lose. Sew up the number one. But again, you sew up the number one. That ain't going to help any of the guys on the roster right now.
Nope.
They don't want to see that. They don't care.
Like I said, it's never the players on the field. The team has got to put out the players that will not maximize victory.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Next up, we've got the Jets taking on the Dolphins.
Okay, so the Jets were eliminated yesterday with their loss to the Seahawks. Eliminated from playoff contention for the 12th straight season. Sorry, Jets fans. Seventh straight season for the Jets with 9-plus losses. So after all that hope, that's the story. They lost 5 straight since the 7-4 start. They gave up a 60-yarder to Kenneth Walker, 60-yard dash, first play of the game from scrimmage. That vaunted Jets defense. There you go, Kenneth Walker, take 60 yards. 2 plays later, Geno to Colby Parkinson from 12 out, 7-0 Seattle. Subsequent drive, 3rd-and-7 for the Jets at the Seattle 33, 11:23 left. First quarter, Michael White, a pick by Quandre Diggs. Seattle matriculated for a field goal, 10-0. Then down 10-3, they gave up. The Jets did a Geno to DJ Dallas 41-yard pass play that led to a Smith to Tyler Mabry 7-yard pass, and it was 17-3. And the rest of it was just sort of a field goal fest from there. And that's your ballgame, 23-6 Seattle. The Jets could never really get anything going in this game. I could go through the field goal fest, but why bother? So they're gone. Miami, though, remains in it. And Miami could have clinched with a win given the Jets' loss yesterday, but they didn't, as we talked about, losing to the Patriots. The Dolphins are still in. We talked that the Patriots just have to win to get into the playoffs. The Dolphins on the outside looking in would need a win in this game over the Jets and a Patriots loss to Buffalo. Now, we already talked about how by Sunday, by the Patriots-Buffalo game, there could be a scenario where if Cincinnati wins tonight, beating the Bills, and Kansas City wins on Saturday, that the Bills would be done from a number one seed possibility. Might the Bills then play it differently? There's that possibility. But the thing is, the Dolphins get in with a win over the Jets and a Patriots loss at Buffalo. That's how they get in. And the problem is, the Dolphins, who have lost 5 straight themselves after an 8-3 start, 0-3 in games this season, not started by Tua, by the way. The problem is, it looks like it's going to be Skylar Thompson. Because Bridgewater, as we mentioned, the word is that he broke his finger.
Yeah.
He was 12 of 19 for 161, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked once, left in the third quarter with that finger injury. And Skylar Thompson was 12 of 21 for 104, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked once, minus 2 in turnovers, 1 a pick 6, as we talked about, Duggar to the house in that game. I said Miami minus 4, but the real thing is here. Miami wins, New England loses, they're in the postseason. Not only is it Skylar Thompson, but Tua, still in concussion protocol, there are reports that he couldn't remember things.
Wow.
When they were going over tape from the Green Bay game. Like, there were things he couldn't remember, his thought process. And you just wonder, even if Miami somehow snuck into the postseason, which, you know, again, they need help, would Tua be available for that? I don't know. Anyway, I had Miami minus 4 here.
My numbers come to 2.5 Miami. By the way, the way Teddy's played, I don't see a difference between him and Skylar Thompson. I hate to say, you know how much I've loved Teddy.
Yeah.
Loved him, but that knee injury he got with Minnesota, he's never been the same. And he hasn't played well this year. My number's coming at 2.5. It's 2 or 2.5. I might as well open with my number that I came up with, 2.5. But I see 2s out there as well. Tough to dicker with either one of them, really. But the Jets are bad, and so is Miami.
What?
Next one up, we've got the Carolina Panthers against the New Orleans Saints.
All right, both teams got eliminated yesterday. 6-10 Panthers, 7-9 Saints. Carolina, as we talked about, just gacking that game to the Bucs. Good God. And then New Orleans beats Philadelphia, which has more implications for Philadelphia, which we'll get to. But New Orleans is done, too. Really, all you need to know was time of possession in that game. First 16 minutes and 26 seconds of that game yesterday, the Saints had the ball for 14 minutes and 18 seconds of it. Just dominated. It was 22-50 to 7-10 at the half in terms of time of possession. Anyway, they led 13-0. Eagles didn't wake up till the second half. Eagles didn't get their first down until the closing minute of the first half. And then 58 seconds left in the third quarter, the Eagles finally came to life, down 13-3, Minshew to A.J. Brown for 78. But that was really their only play of the game. It was, for all intents and purposes, over after Minshew was stuffed on a sneak attempt. And then the Saints, though they had to punt afterwards, it was a pick six, Minshew to Marshawn Lattimore the other way, 20-10 Saints. Anyway, they held Philadelphia, did New Orleans, to 11 first downs. They out-time of possession them 37-04 to 22-56. But, as I said, eliminated from playoff contention. New Orleans minus 3 against Carolina.
You know, my power ratings come to 3. I see it 4 pretty much everywhere. I understand, because ordinarily in these spots, which don't happen all that often, I kind of favor the home team. I think they just you know, favor them a little bit. Let's not go crazy. But I'm going to open four, even though, like I said, my power ratings come to three. But I think four is probably a better number in this case, and that's what I see everywhere.
Is there a bet in any of this so far? Like, besides, I have Cincinnati tonight, but I'm saying like, going into next week, I don't know that there's one game
Minnesota.
Yet. The Chargers, oh, you like Minnesota. The Chargers might be it, but then literally, like, I'm banking on that team. I get it, four wins in a row, but that might be the only team so far. I have my Niners futures pre-flop. Didn't add any others in the NFC all year, and the only ones I have in the AFC are the Chargers, which is interesting, put it that way. Some awards talk in the remaining games. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today. You also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, betting splits, and betting reports. Limited time offer, though, as always. So sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander. And, of course, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. Chrissy, your book.
My book.
Your book.
I was ready to say, Then One Day. That's still flowing pretty good, by the way. Adolf Fosmu, my brother. Go to my brother. It's hard to remember. But just go to Amazon, or I have a pinned tweet. You know, you could just click on that, find a, you know, very easy method to purchase my book. Selling well. Doing good. Reviews are terrific so far.
Pinned tweet at Andrews Sports.
At Andrews Sports, yeah. Pinned tweet right there. Right
Adolf Fosmu.
Adolf Fosmu.
Can't wait to read it on vacation.
My brother.
Can't wait to read it. Little awards talk real quick, because none of the awards markets are up except for MVP, which Patrick Mahomes is a prohibitive favorite in. But I'm just curious, right now, after Week 17, how things in awards markets have been thrown up in the air. First of all, Coach of the Year. With the Eagles losing 2 weeks in a row, now the auto Coach of the Year thought about Nick Sirianni sort of goes out the window. He still may win it, but it's no longer, well, they're going to be 16-1, so here's your award. Now, does Brian Daboll come into play? Does Kyle Shanahan come into play for Coach of the Year? That is very much up in the air. Comeback Player of the Year. Is it Geno still? Is it somebody else? Is it Saquon Barkley? Is it Nick Gates? As Jason Weingarten would have us believe. I don't know. I still think it's Geno. But the question, with the Eagles, does Jalen Hurts get shut out of either award? Some might make the argument that the Eagles' play should be more of a positive now for the Jalen Hurts awards thoughts. And is there thoughts on teams being shut out entirely? Will the Giants get shut out of both coach and comeback? Will the Eagles get shut out of both coach and an offensive award for Jalen Hurts? There's that. So there's a few of these things. And my biggest thing is Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mentioned it last week. I ended up betting Brock Purdy at plus 750. Here's the thing with the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I just don't believe anyone else has distinguished themselves. And so even with a minimum of six games played, I think Brock Purdy is live for this.
Well, plus he's been in the headlines too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a vote.
It's a vote.
It's a vote.
Human beings voting. Anyway, so awards are going to be fascinating because a bunch of these are up in the air. Let's get to a couple more games. What do we got, Wyatt?
Next up, we've got the New York Giants against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Speaking of which, so the Giants, congratulations to Giants backers, Giants fans. They are in. They're going to be the number six seed. They're 9-6-1 on the season. Daniel Jones yesterday in the route of the Giants of the Colts 38-10 was 19 of 24 for 177, two touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. 11 carries for 91 yards, two touchdowns. The Giants clinched their first playoff berth since 2016. They will be the number six seed. First double-digit win this season for the Gigantes. They're the only exact seed we know besides the Bucks. By the way, this from Michael Signora at NFL Info. With the Giants clinching a playoff berth, the incredible NFL streak continues. Since 1990, 33 consecutive seasons, at least four teams qualified for the playoffs in every season that were not in the postseason the year before. So file that away, boys and girls, when we get to next offseason. And when someone comes on this show or any other show on the network or anywhere else and makes the outlandish claim that the Team X, right, is going to make the postseason, you're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, four always do.
Yeah.
33 years in a row.
Yeah, like your Washington, whatever the hell they were a couple years back.
Taco holders?
This is before they were the taco holders.
Oh, the Commodores.
Before that.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Before they were Commodores. Right. I guess they were the taco holders back then, just the football
the
team.
The woofed, yeah.
Yeah, they made the playoffs. How did they make the playoffs? I mean, you know, I don't know. We see that every year.
Philadelphia, as we talked about, losing to the Saints. Minshew was 18 of 32 for 274, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked six times. Devontae Smith, 9 for 115. The Eagles only had 11 first downs, and as I mentioned, they were out time of possession, 37-04 to 22-56. But after all that, the Eagles can still clinch the number one seed just simply by winning against the Giants here. And the Giants, as we said, have nothing to play for. They're the number six seed, win or lose. The Eagles, the first team since 1982 to have four players with 10-plus sacks. Reddick, Sweat, Hargrave, Graham. And the first team ever, listen to this stat, with 6-plus sacks in five straight games. We talk all about Jalen Hurts and that offense, but man, that defense is good. I said Philadelphia minus 10.5 because I didn't know what else to put. It has to be double digits.
Yeah, I mean, even my number's coming to like 9.5 under the best of circumstances for the Eagles. But I think the Giants kind of take the day off. You know, I mean,
is Hurts playing?
I don't know. I mean,
because this line is with Hurts in mind, but again, the Giants have nothing to play for. So does it matter if Hurts plays? Does Hurts plays for a half?
Good question. Right now, the number is 13.5, like a blanket. So I guess that's what I'm going to open. I don't know. I think that number's too high, to tell you the truth. I really do. But I don't know where it's going to go and what's going to happen.
And we have no history to know how Brian Daboll handles it.
We don't. Yeah. And I, by the way, I think Brian Daboll has done just a fantastic job.
Is he your coach of the year?
He'd probably be mine, yeah. Yeah.
I'd go Shanahan first myself.
Really?
But Daboll is second.
Yeah, I think Daboll, you know, that would be it for me. Yeah, Shanahan, he's on his third quarterback.
And Sirianni. You know. I'm not eliminating Sirianni.
You know, how about Mike Tomlin? You know, he's never had a losing season.
Wait, what?
I hadn't heard that before.
That's a social clip right there. I didn't know that.
I'm going to go with 13.5. I don't know what to do with this game, but I'm going to go on record. I think that number's too high.
Next, Wyatt.
Well, speaking of Mike Tomlin, we've got the Browns against the Steelers.
Browns are 7-9. They are donezo. They've been donezo. But they did beat Washington yesterday, much to the chagrin of many a Commander fan. At Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's 8-8, as we talked about with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh can still make the postseason in with a win, and New England and Miami losses next week. It's amazing that they still have a scenario. And again, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. He gets a tie here. That streak will continue. Tie or better. The Browns yesterday against the Commanders, and this would be more of a Commanders discussion, I guess. But Browns, they were up 3-0. They were going to go up 6-0. They took a field goal off the board. Then they gacked a fourth and short. So it was still 3-0. At that point, Wentz had already had one pick. But then he threw a second pick for Washington on the ensuing drive with 13:23 left in the second quarter. Grant Delpit, essentially it was a punt, but a horrible throw. Denzel Ward had gotten the first pick from Carson Wentz, which set up the 3-0 lead. Washington did have one moment in this game. It was a 21-play drive that started at their own 4 with 11:48 left in the second quarter, ended on a 4th-and-goal at the 1 with 23 seconds left in the half, where Carson Wentz did the Drew Brees thing, where he just waved the ball over the plane of the goal line. Please let this be a lesson to every other team that's on the goal line, unless you're Tom Brady, likes to do that low sneak thing. Just wave the ball over. What could possibly go wrong? Just want to throw that in. Anyway, Deshaun Watson, in the first half, what were his first half numbers? His first half numbers were 3 of 8 for 23 yards. No touchdown, no picks, sacked 4 times. 2 carries for 0 yards. You know what he was in the second half? 6 of 10 for 146 and 3 touchdowns. There's no need to continue. All I know is that Washington now has a horrible mascot. Did we find out the name of that mascot? Anyway, they have a mascot that is inspired by the Hogs, the great offensive line that won them Super Bowls in the 80s and the early 90s. And now the Hogs themselves, the actual Hogs players, are suing Daniel Snyder. You cannot make this up. And by the way, every Washington fan is Team Hogs. Sue that bastard. Thoughts of these show is thoughts of my own only. By the way, this is a sent from J.P. Finley. He does such a great job covering the Commanders. The Commanders held a 10-0 lead at Giants Stadium in the second quarter, week 13. Since that moment, they've been outscored 101-52. Haven't won since. By the way, speaking of quarterbacks, we're talking about how Houston's going to want to draft C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young with the number one pick in the draft. Washington, what about a team like Washington? It's going to end up between the 10th and the 15th pick, as they always do. They need a quarterback. So it's going to be like a Will Levis, Anthony Richardson sweepstakes. Or do they, again, Will Levis might be gone already. So they got to trade up. But like you have to draft, if Sam Howell is not good, then you have to draft a quarterback. Can we see Sam Howell this week, please? By the way, Ron Rivera had no idea that they could be eliminated yesterday.
That was bad.
He had no idea.
Yeah.
And by the way, there was someone, Ian Rappaport took the approach. I don't see the problem with this. He was so focused on the game. Stop with that. Like NFL coaching is not so myopic that you don't know a general context. Drives me crazy. Anyway, Pittsburgh by 4 against Cleveland. Pittsburgh's got motivation. Cleveland just wants to spoil it.
My number's coming to 3.5, but it's 3 with juice on the dog. I'm going to open 3. I'm going to take a pretty good bet. I got to tell you, my first thought is there's no way Pittsburgh's losing this game. But I've seen this team lose a lot of games where there's no way they're going to lose this game. I mean, it's still the NFL. And we talked about some salary cap. I'm so glad the Browns signed this horrific deal with Deshaun Watson. I want that team to be crippled for maybe the rest of my life.
Chrissy Andrews bringing it.
What the hell?
Bringing it.
Why not? I'm in the Hall of Fame. What can they do? Throw me out.
That's right. Oh, did you mention that he's in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame? 3 more games to get to. I think we've covered everything. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from I Have No Blue Checkmark. He says, the hell with this football crap. What are your tennis picks in Adelaide? You mean in Adelaide? I gave them out on Twitter last night. The time zone difference is such that when we do a numbers game, when the tour's in Australia, and this is going to be janky with the Australian Open coming up in a couple weeks, I'll give them out on Twitter if you ask for me, if you're interested. Last night, people did. I gave out 2 dogs. One of them hit. The great Iseline Bonaventure hit as a plus 164 dog. So we did make money, even though we went 1-1. This is from Jack Hannon. VEASAN t-shirt suggestion. Picture of Matt Eumanns with inscription, he's only human. Get it? Youman.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I like it. Chris Heath, is the NFC the weakest conference we've seen in over a decade? Yeah, I mean, it's we don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but if you think about it, only 3 teams have a positive point differential. So, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, but those 3 teams are all pretty good.
Oh, they're awesome. Come on, San Francisco, get me to the promised land. Chrissy, did Chris take a bath yesterday? This is from Chris Heath also. I'm just looking at the box scores, or there's a lot of public dogs. You did not take a bath yesterday.
We were taking a bath. We got out of the bath when the Steelers, when that guy made a big bet on the Ravens, and that rescued the day for me.
By the way, I thought he was talking about your hygiene for a second before I was reading that. I was like, what do you mean you take a bath?
Yeah.
Bruce Dobigan, because comeback is not muddy enough. Jared Goff, no picks in 280 throws. His comeback mirrors the Lions' comeback. Yeah, I guess. You're right. Roger Jones, Happy New Year, Gil. Win or lose this week, the Steelers have done a remarkable job of staying in it. And we also know, even with a loss, Tomlin has won at least 8 games per year. So we might have to reconfigure that. 3 more games to get to. Wyatt, what's next?
Next up, we've got the Cardinals against the 49ers.
All right, so the 8-4-12 Cardinals, the 12-4 Niners. We already went through how the Niners beat the Raiders. David Blau, by the way, in case you were curious, for Arizona yesterday, 24-40 for 222. I assume it's Blau for this coming game, but maybe I shouldn't assume. Maybe it'll be Colt McCoy. I don't know. Niners won their 9th straight. They're 9-0 with Christian McCaffrey. Brock Purdy, 22-35 for 284, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was not sacked. He is the 5th rookie quarterback to win his first 4 starts in the history of the National Football League. McCaffrey, 19 for 121 and a touchdown, 6 catches for 72. Ayuk, 9 for 101 and a touchdown. The Niners can clinch the number 1 seed with a win in this game and a Philly loss to the Giants. That's a big if because, again, the Giants have nothing to play for, locked into the number 6 seed. I don't know, 13-point favorite, the Niners?
Yeah, it's 13.5. You know, my numbers... 17.5, but I wrote down right away, diminishing returns. Put that on your bingo card, too. I guess 13.5 is okay. I mean, I would not rush to the window to bet either one of these teams. You know,
yeah.
David Blau, I guess he played okay. You know, but,
I will say this, and again, this is a guy who holds a Brock Purdy +750 Offensive Rookie of the Year ticket. Brock Purdy throws a lot of really good passes, but he has some stinkers, mm-hmm. and none of them ever get picked. Like, he is as good as he's played, he is super fortunate too. And that's why people say, oh, he's due for a clunker at some point. I kind of get it.
I got to say, though, well, off the track a little bit, I really like the way this team's playing right now. I think Philly may have peaked a little too early. I got big question marks about Dallas. You know, if you want to sell any part of that Niners bet, give me a ring.
I am pumped about those tickets. Wyatt, what's next?
We've got the Rams against the Seahawks.
Rams, 5-11, 5-11. Not too good. Famous quote from Steve Spurrier after watching it with Buffalo. But I see there's another team out there that's 4-12, so that's something. That's how we.
Is that what he said?
That was the end of the Spurrier years. Get him out of here. Rams, most losses ever by a Super Bowl champ. 11. Good God. They're all right. We won a Super Bowl. They don't care. Eighth loss this season by 10-plus points. That was to the Chargers yesterday. That's the most in the NFL. Mayfield was 11 of 19 against the Chargers for 132. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. He lost a fumble. Akers was 19 of 123, so I guess that's something. 12 first downs. And then Seattle. Geno against the Jets. 18 of 29 for 183. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked four times. Kenneth Walker, 23 for 133 against 60 on the very first run of the game. Plus three in turnovers against the Jets. And again, the Seahawks currently in the seventh spot. But only have a 19. So this is the interesting thing. If the playoffs were to begin right now, which they don't, this just in, Seattle would be in. But they only have a 19% chance of getting in the playoffs. They need to beat the Rams, and Green Bay needs to lose to the Lions to get in. They have the head-to-head over Detroit, 48-45 win in week four. So that tie would go to Seattle if it was between Seattle and Detroit. But that's the scenario for Seattle. So again, forget what the standings are right now. Green Bay has the best chance mathematically, followed by Seattle, followed by Detroit, of the three remaining teams vying for that number seven position, the last playoff position in the NFC. Seattle by a touchdown. Seattle by seven.
Yeah, my numbers came to five. I don't like the way Seattle's playing. I know they had a nice effort yesterday, but let's not forget, they were a dog to the Jets. My numbers come to five. It's 6.5 pretty much everywhere. I mean, maybe I don't realize how absolutely atrocious the Rams are, because they've shown a couple of spots where they've played well at a couple of times. But I'm going to go with the 6.5. God knows I don't want to have my bankroll on the Rams at this point in time. But I do think that number is a shade high.
And finally,
Dallas Cowboys versus the Washington Commanders.
Oh, that's right. We didn't get to Dallas yet. So Dallas coming off the extra rest against the Titans, which they won by two touchdowns, if you recall. Dallas didn't really play that well against Josh Dobbs and the Titans, but they got the job done. And so the Cowboys, if they win here at Washington and Philly loses to the Giants, again, big if, but if that happens, Dallas wins the NFC East. If Dallas wins and Philly and San Francisco both lose, Dallas would get the number one seed. You imagine if that happened?
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco losing as a two-touchdown favorite. Philly losing to a Giants team that had nothing to play for. Anyway, just to be thorough about it, Prescott was 29 of 41 on Thursday for 282. Two touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked once, lost a fumble. Lamb was 11 for 100. Schultz, 7 for 56 and two touchdowns. And then Washington yesterday. I don't think I emphasized enough just how bad Carson Wentz was. Are we done with the Carson Wentz thing? Please.
I don't know who's starting this week.
I don't know. He was 16 of 28 for 143. No touchdowns, three picks. He was sacked three times. He did get a touchdown at the doorstep when he waved it over the plane. Washington only had 260 total yards. They had 96 of those 260 on that one drive. They were minus three in turnovers. It was the fifth straight game for the Commanders where they had 20 points or fewer. And I just want to say this again. They're just better with Taylor Heinicke. I know Heinicke has his limitations. He can't throw the ball downfield, and he also fumbles. But somehow this team is just better with him. Washington eliminated from postseason contention with their loss to the Browns. They got to draft a quarterback. Somebody. And again, as I mentioned, Ron Rivera, had no idea when questioned by a reporter, he had no idea that Washington could have been eliminated yesterday with a Green Bay win. And in fact, that's what happened, and Washington has done 7-8-1. Dallas in no man's land, -5.5. I don't know what to make this line.
It's 3.5 and 4 everywhere. I'm opening 4.5. I think this Washington team is just horrible. I mean, I know you hate to hear that, but I mean, you know, the facts are the facts. They're just horrible. I'm going to go with 4.5. I'm going to be above the market as often as I can this week, unless something deters my thinking, you know, for a reason that I can't foresee Dallas not playing guys. But this team's just horrible. I'm betting against Washington more than I'm betting on the Cowboys here.
Okay, our pro tip of the hour, and this is a nice pro tip because we also have a rebuttal to the pro tip within the pro tip from Chrissy. If you can make a correlated parlay, remember we talked about it before week 17, where if you could make one before week 17, think about the scenarios. If you think Team X is going to win in week 17, therefore you should bet the value on this team, Team Y, in week 18, you can also do that now. With that game tonight between Buffalo and Cincinnati, I'm on Cincinnati. I think they're going to win, and that has all the implications we talked about on this show. So if you can make a correlated parlay this week already at this moment, make one. And apparently folks are taking the Cincinnati win parlay tonight with the KC win on Saturday with the New England win on Sunday. And your response to that, sir, is?
I think it's overrated.
You're taking those parlays.
I'm going to take them, yeah.
Because you think that stuff is overrated.
Yeah. What would Dr. Bob say?
Dr. Bob would say, Gil, if a team is in a must-win situation, that means they must not be that good.
Yeah, I'm with Dr. Bob.
That's what he would say. It's your pro tip of the hour, one every hour, 20 a day, VSiN.com for VSiN Pro subscribers only. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.